Paha Ares. That's the first word there in the second sentence, remember? Paha Ares. What's the second one? Haya. 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 Ta. Ta. Hayata. Meaning become or became. Ba-tohu. Ba-bohu. Remember those words? That was last week, right? Now we're going to be on another part. I'm going to see if I cannot cover three words today again. Now, you know, the reason why I'm doing this is so that when we look at the Word of God in Hebrew, we need to be able to understand what that words and what he said. Because, see, Jesus said, thy word is truth. Therefore, we have to go back to it to find out what it is. And he says, you live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It's very useful for us to find out what is it that he said and what he mean when he said it. So we have a good possibility of learning to live by every word that proceeds out of his mouth. The second part is Vahoyach ala panei tahom. Okay? So we're going to talk about that means darkness, what? And darkness on face deep. That's basically simple words. We'll go through these words today. And remember, in the beginning, it tells us an awful lot. All right? I won't have to be as voiceless as I was last week because I was shook up about the resurrection and people not paying attention. What that's all, there's hope of the world, the resurrection. But I'm not talking about that today. So we're going to talk about darkness. Now, it comes from the verb kashach, which means to be dark, or to become dark, or to make black, basically that without light. So we have here the earth came. Of course, this is not the verb, this is the noun. It's koshach. Koshach. Koshach means what? Just plain darkness. Also, it has a very distinct meaning, spiritually speaking. It has to do with misery, destruction, death, ignorance, sorrow, and wickedness. All those words are used within the Torah or the Tanakh to a completion. So we're going to look at this word. We're trying to find out, because we also know the word Vatohu, Vavohu, Vahashanech. And. So there's three things there. All right? So we're talking about darkness. Now, as we go along with the word darkness, we'll spend a little time in darkness because it'll help us to understand a little bit of why certain phrases are mentioned in the New Testament. It helps us to be able to figure out exactly why things are the way they are, or actually how God set the thing up in the very beginning. Because you notice that there is no mention of light, but there's mention of darkness. Right? Now, in the first sentence, there is Hashemayim v'ha'aretz. Now, we already know that God has already done that part, but something had come upon the earth, and something had happened. Now, we're talking about darkness. Now, darkness is a very interesting word. We know what it says, how that light cannot have communication with
darkness.
So the first thing that comes up here is what? Darkness. We'll talk about how it came about in a minute. Well, I want you to keep one thing in mind. God's day begins when? Darkness. And then it becomes light, not the other way around. And this begins to tell you in the very beginning why it's darkness first before the day came or light came. All right? So tell us a message. And the New Testament tells you this message really clear. And we'll get there today. God willing. But first I want to go to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 2. Verse 1. This is this word that we are talking about, which is Choshech, darkness. Chapter 2, verse 9. And he, referring to God, will keep the feet of his saints, and the wicked shall be silent in Choshech. Will be silent in Choshech. All right. For by strength there shall no man prevail. There's no strength in darkness. There's no power in darkness. All right. So we keep that part in mind. We think about the word darkness. Job chapter 15. Book of Job chapter 15. You see a picture here of what darkness is referring to. And we'll go to a certain place in the prophecy where God says, I created Choshech. We'll talk about that. And we'll see how he did it and why he did it and what it meant. Job, boy, that's a mistake. Job, the 15th chapter, starting in verse 20. The wicked man travails in pain all his days, and the number of years is hidden to the oppressor. Meaning, who's the oppressor? We know who the oppressor is, right? A dreadful sound is in his ears. In prosperity, the destroyer shall come upon him. He believes not that he shall return out of darkness, and he waits for the sword. See, the future of a wicked person is in the future of terror. Who's going to come after them? The destroyer. Who's the destroyer? Hasatan. And God's going to send him out. Going to kill him. There's a prophecy that says, I can't remember exactly how it's phrased, but something like, there is no shalom for the wicked, but there is shalom for the righteous, but no shalom for, there's no peace for a wicked person. They are always in turmoil. And you know some people in your world, your friends, relatives, who do not believe in God, but their world is a world of fear. Now, they might not hide it. They try to run away from it. We'll talk about that today. But they try to conceal their fear. The truth is, they are terrified. They try to be brave, but they can't be brave. They hide themselves behind what's bravery, but it's not really there. And if you start to know these people, start talking with them, you'll recognize it. Yes.
Then they tell us we're the ones with the crutch because we believe in the Almighty.
Right. Correct. Says he believes not that he shall return out of Choshech, darkness, and he waits for the sword. He wanders abroad for bread, and where is it? He knows that the day of Choshech is ready at his hand. Now remember, there's no strength in darkness. There's no life in darkness. There's nothing living in darkness. Right? Mm-hmm. Trouble and anguish shall make him afraid. He shall prevail against, they shall prevail against him, that is trouble and anguish, will fail against him as a king ready to go to battle. For he stretches out his hand against Elohim, the strength, and strengthens himself against the Almighty. Well, you know, this, we're talking about a wicked person and what's going to happen to them. They are always at war and bitterness and resentment, but they're also in terror. When the judgment day comes, I'll tell you, people are going to be terrified. We'll talk about the fear of God here at his coming. He dwells in desolate cities, in houses which no man inhabits, which are ready to become heaps. He shall not be rich, neither shall his substance continue, neither shall he prolong the perfection thereof under the earth. He shall not depart out of Hosheth. The flame shall dry up his branches, and by the breath of his mouth he shall go away. The breath of God, his breath, he will go away, disappear. God will disappear him, make him cease to exist. Cease to be, as if he never was.
Now, is that what people have confused with hell?
Yes. The spirits are speaking about fire or something. We're not there yet, but most we think of there's a real fire, yes, but it's another kind of fire what God's talking about. Okay, it also burns the spirit, burns the soul, burns everything. There's nothing left, not just the flesh, but it's gone. And he does that. He's done that 3 or 4 times in the Bible. We won't go there today. Psalms 18 are there. Psalms 18, verse 28. Hosheth. We're talking about Hosheth. All right? Which is darkness. And there's no strength in darkness. There's no power in darkness. There's no life in darkness. There's nothing in darkness. All right? And God, we will see, created it for a reason. Verse 28. For thou wilt light my candle. Isn't that cool? We are the light of the world. He lights the candle. We don't light our candle, do we? He lights us. He lights us. And then he puts us where we will be seen. Now we're talking about light, not Hosheth. Because the next part of it is, the Lord my God will enlighten my Hosheth. He'll bring me out of the darkness. So, you know, we talk about correction. You wanted to have God to pray that he would be guided you and direct you, pull you out of and give you correction. When he gives you correction, he's pulling you out of darkness. Where's he putting you then? He's putting you in the light. All right? Keep that part in mind. Because we get to the first day, we'll go into what that's all about. All right? Psalms 35. Psalms 35, verse 4. Starting in verse 4. Let them be confounded and put to shame that seek after my soul. Let them be turned back and brought down to confusion that devices my hurt, thy heart, my hurt. Let them as be chaff before the wind, and let the angel of the Lord chasten them. Let their way be hosheth and slippery. And let the angel of the Lord persecute them. Okay. So darkness is not a place you really want to be, right? But somehow the earth got there. Somehow the earth got there. How did it get in darkness? Because God, you'll find out in a minute. Let's go to Proverbs, second chapter. Proverbs, second chapter. We're going through this word of Hosheth, darkness. We'll get into the New Testament here in a little bit, a minute. Verse 11. Discretion shall preserve them. Understanding shall keep them, to deliver them from the way of the evil, from the man that speaks forward things, who leaves the paths of uprightness, who walks in the ways of Hosheth. Way of darkness. It's not a very positive thing to be in darkness. Tohu, bohu, koshef. There's three things there that are involved. All right? Proverbs 20, verse 20. Whosoever curses his father and his mother, his lamp shall be put out into obscure koshef. His light's going to be burned out. Remember what Jesus said about one of the candlesticks? If you don't repent, I'm going to remove you. He's going to move them to where? Darkness, to koshech. They cease to be. They cease to exist. They have no power. They have no thought. They have no mind. They just don't exist. That's a pretty powerful statement. When he removes that candlestick, watch out. You don't want him to remove you, right? So you really pay close attention to every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, right? Because he should fear him. Respect, honor, then you will learn to obey and love him. We talked about having to be hearing the word of God. Shema. So we must hear. And now we're hearing it, I hope. Isaiah chapter 5. This is a very, very famous statement. But it's incomplete when only peace and when you only hear the first part of this particular statement. You need to hear the whole statement. I'm not going to say it in Hebrew. It's too confusing. But I'm just going to tell you what it says. And you can look at it. Okay, it's a very, 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 very well-known one. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. Woe to them that call evil good and good evil, that put koshech for order and order for koshech. Or means light. That put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. That's a complete statement. How many things he talked about now? One is good for evil. That's one state. Koshach for order. Second statement. And bitter for sweet. Third statement. And reversing the whole thing. Okay. So there's three things that are involved here that we don't sometimes pay attention to. So we're not going to go through what is bitterness and what is sweetness because that's not the lesson for today. We're talking about just one thing, and that is koshech, darkness. Don't make that which is of God, the light of God, into and make it into koshech. And that's what's happened to an awful lot. I mean, you can recognize it around about you. Not just in the Christian world. All right? They turn things into this is not holy. This is holy. They reverse the whole thing. No one wants to know anything about sin. So they turn sin and call it good. They take the laws of God and they call it evil. Right? Now we come into light and darkness. What kind of parallel is that? That which is a light, which Jesus is turning into koshech. They don't want to talk about him. Don't want to talk what he said. Don't want to teach what he said. Don't want to even consider what he has said. They don't even consider him worthwhile even to listen to anymore. They consider what he has said is koshech.
More than that, they've changed what he said, what he stood for, that's into
koshech, into darkness.
Yeah, like the Church of Science and stuff. They right. Have all these different gods, and they put Yeshua as one of the many gods, and yeah. This that they water down what he says.
That has to do with bitterness and sweetness. We won't go there today, though. But I just don't say it. We got these three different things we have to kind of keep an eye on what we're going through. All right, Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45, verse 7. I form the light, the order, and I create koshech. I make peace, and I create evil. I'm the Lord that does these things. Oh, that's really strange, isn't it? You mean God brought forth darkness? Yes, he did. That's what he said. He eliminated something. That which was is no longer. So in the beginning, it tells you the end. Now let me ask you a question. Blessings and cursings come from the Word of God, correct? Blessings and cursings come from the Word of God, correct?
Yes.
All right. Did God create sin? Did God create transgression? Did God create that?
Yes.
He did once he made the ability for choice.
No, he didn't. He did not create sin.
He let us do it.
He let us do it. And consequently, we get what's called a cursing. Right? If we listen and hear what he said, there is no cursing. If we listen and hear what he says, do not obey, there is a cursing.
So what you're saying, he created the temptation, but us choosing the temptation.
No. No. Don't think God created temptation. God does not create temptation. He creates life. Another being created temptation. Another being created lies. Another being created corruption. Another being brought forth the evil, and that we follow that other being because we think that a being is the light. Therefore, we get cursed. All right?
Yep.
I mean, give God credit. He says, I didn't create this world in tohu vohu. Well, I'll give it a curse because now it is there. I have to clean it up. And we talk about the water. We don't call it the water yet because I'm not there about the water because this chapter's not completely finished. Water has to do with a cleansing process. We haven't gotten that far yet. Yes?
When he, as we go here, when he creates the tree, it's the tree of knowledge that gives us both an option.
Yeah, we have not the tree of knowledge good and evil yet. We'll get there when we get there.
But it still gives us the option.
It gives us the option, okay.
What is he saying then when he says he created the darkness?
It's a curse. When he removes your light, it is a curse. Not a blessing. The only way you will not be cursed if you permit him to keep your light burning. And you have to listen to the Word of God to be able to do that. Yes?
This is the second death that Revelation talks about.
Yeah, you got it. That's darkness.
That's the real darkness.
That's the real darkness.
And that's thank the you. First death, so to speak, that we all...
You're running there faster than I got there, but yes. That's fine. I don't care.
I do that, don't I?
Yes, you do. But it's okay. Because, you know, there, I can't remember what it is. I think it's Peter who says about the demonic world. They are going to be placed where? Into darkness. Now remember, there's no strength in darkness. There's no power in darkness. There's no light in darkness. And without light, there's no life. There is no life. What did Jesus say? I am the light. I am the life. And I am, what else did he say? The truth? All those things he rattled all off. And he's not the father of lies. Now, when you tell a lie, somebody has to institute the final punishment. Therefore, God brings forth the cursing because of that. Now, you think God has not brought forth, or we won't go there today because Jesus said it did. You think God has brought forth cursing upon the devil? Do you think God's actually removed the light from devil? Yeah. That's why he knows he has a short time. He knows what that word means. He knows the facts. One thing he doesn't have is understanding and wisdom, because that comes from God and on God only. So this word we're looking at right now is this. He created the curse for sin, which is death and darkness. See, she took that right on. Death and darkness. Darkness meaning the second death. All right? There is nothing that's going to occur. There is no such thing as a light hell. Hell has no light. Death, second death has no light. It ceased to be. It ceased to exist. When that takes place, guess what? The candle's out. We know this because it says, thy word is what? A lamp unto my feet. Yeah, we know that. So that's where we go. We go to thy word, and that is the light. If you still want to be lit, you got to go to the word. Amos chapter 5. This is a part of an area which almost sounds like he is, we have no history, but that he is going to do something very bad. And we sometimes, in the Christian world, think he's on the case of the Jews. Because how it's worded. Careful, listen to the whole statement. Must hear the whole statement. Because the book of Amos is written against whom? My dear wife?
And Ephraim. There's three chapters for Ephraim.
So, we're going to say and take a look at it now. We're going to find out exactly what he is talking about. And let's go there. Chapter 5, verse 18. Woe unto those who desire the day of the Lord. To what end is it for you? Is the day of the Lord is what? Koshech. Got to put the lights out. Not of light. This is what it says. This is what it says there. It's the day I'm going to Koshech. I'm going to put darkness there, and there is no light. Now, remember what he said? We all read the First Samuel. But God says he will do what? To those who have righteousness. He's not going to put the light out. He's going to keep you in the light, but the wicked are going to be in darkness. Yes.
It's interesting. The day Yeshua died, the light went out. And literally, yes, right.
The whole these pictures are very fascinating. So we talk about darkness. We have to know something brought it about. So there must have been something before darkness. Light had to exist before darkness came. Why did not create darkness first?
God said, let there be light.
Well, that comes later. I'll explain what that means when he said that statement. It's very fascinating. It has to do with the New Testament. And I went, real quick. All right, now, we also know, well, no good there. Let's just read, continue on reading here. If a man did flee from a lion, the bear will meet him, or when in a house, he leans his hand upon the wall, and the serpent will bite him. Shall not the day of the Lord be koshech, and not light? They're going to die. You can't get away from what God is going to do. Darkness is the end of light. Because that word means to bring forth darkness, to bring forth darkness. Now, so the darkness did not come from the devil. The darkness did come from God. And he came and he destroyed the light. Not the light, but destroyed what was being polluted. What was turned, that was turned evil into good, good into evil. Darkness into light, light into darkness. Bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. He had to get rid of all at the same time. We'll talk about this in a minute. Verse, continue on there. Shall not the day of the Lord be koshech and not light? Even very dark, that's a different word, but it's closely related to it, being unclear or not, no brightness in there. There's no light in it, no brightness there. I hate and despise, listen very carefully now, your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. There, ye offer me whole offerings and meat offering and I will not accept them. Neither will I regret the peace offering, the shalom offering, rather, of your fat beast. Thou shalt take away from me, take thou away from me the noise of your songs, praise songs, glory songs, glorifying God, for I will not hear the melody of thy words or your voice. Let not judgment run down as water, and the righteousness of the mighty stream. But let justice run down. Ye have offered unto me sacrifices and offerings and wilderness for 40 years, O house of Israel. Listen to this next statement. But you have borne the tabernacle of Molach and Chiyun, your images, the star of your Elohim, which you made for yourself. When did that happen?
They left Egypt.
Sorry, when?
When they left Egypt.
Oh no, that's when God gave them all those things. Oh my. Do we know the history of Israel?
Jeroboam.
What did Jeroboam do? Moved everything to another time, another space, and this is what God is saying. He's not saying those who keep the feast of the Lord. He's keeping your feast, which means that's what Rehoboam set up. He set up the Feast of Tabernacles one month later, and everything became 1 month later. And, excuse me, have a second. There is speculation, which I can't believe it, but I could believe it. They also moved the seventh day to the eighth day, which means Sunday. I mean, it could be that powerful. If he moved that, he could move everything. And guess what? God says, I don't want it. Stop singing. Stop doing your praises. Stop giving me offerings. It stinks. Get out of my life. Yes.
Which, again, like back in 15, we're talking to women of Joseph. This is not to the Jews. This is to a giant.
Yeah. Now listen to it. Therefore, I will cause you to go into captivity. Where?
Damascus. Beyond Damascus.
Not Babylon.
Nope.
Did you catch that? Not Babylon. Mm-hmm. Who was sent to Damascus? Who was sent beyond Damascus? The northern tribe was sent to Damascus and beyond. He's not cursing those who kept the feast of the Lord. He's cursing those who moved. And he says, you're out of here. And he got rid of them. In a sense, he took the light away. All right? That makes sense to you? So I know that sometimes I've heard commentaries. This is the reason why I thought it would be important to say it here. Because this is not talking about those who, the house of Judah. Let's talk about the house of Judah that did keep the feast of the Lord. Mm-hmm. It's talking about the house of Israel mm-hmm. that didn't.
Hosea does the same.
Right.
I hate your feasts.
Right. And referring to, Hosea is more to the house of Israel than any other one, right?
Yeah.
We know that. And so we know that this all it's talking about is not, you know, and so sometimes people think, you keep the what? Feast Tabernacles? Didn't you know what God said about that? He hates them. Well, true. He hates them. That is the ones that, you know, aren't his. Do you understand what I'm saying?
That alone should convict the church.
Yes, that alone.
That alone to make us think Easter Sunday, all of those things.
And this has to do with darkness. Yes.
Believe it or not, my unmessianic Bible, its preface to Amos specifically mentions this by Jeroboam commissioning his own priests.
Oh, that's good.
Priests, they worshiped as they pleased, where they pleased. They didn't go to Bethel. They could go to Gilgal. You know,
yep.
So they didn't have to go to Jerusalem.
Yep.
And so
yep.
Even my non-messianic.
They keyed it in. They keyed it in.
That Amos yeah. has to be talking to the 10 northern tribes.
10 northern tribes.
It's a New American Standard Version, but it is
older
the
one?
New Inductive Study Bible by Kay Arthur. She's the one that wrote the Sunday.
Sometimes it's amazing that somebody picks it up and says, oh, I'm going to add that note to this one here, you know. Sometimes commentaries are worthless. But once in a while, they key in right on one or two places. Boy, they got that one, don't they? All right, so we talked about that darkness, and why he says, now, do you think the day of the Lord is going to be wonderful? Do you think the day of the Lord is going to be a fantastic time, a wonderful peace? No, it's day of Koshech. You see, now he has to bring forth darkness. Remove evil. That's not a pleasant thing, except for those who are righteous. Yes?
Well, not only that, but Christianity has said that they will escape it. And this comes upon the whole Christian world.
Yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, whole world, let alone Christian world.
When terror fit into that...
I'm sorry, what?
Terror, yeah. Day of terror fit in the same place.
Same place, yeah. But I'm just we're talking about the word koshech first. That's the word that I'm keying in on. So we understand that the darkness happened. What happened? Well, God brings forth darkness to eliminate life. All right. Now we're going to the New Testament. We're going to the New Testament. I'm going to transgress some areas here. Not really. It's a Greek word. So we're going to go to, of course, one of the most famous places. That's in the book of Matthew. And 6th chapter. We all know where I'm going, right? Yeah, okay. Matthew 6. Okay. Now, oh, so read my doing this in the Greek, because Greek is agreement with it. Okay. Greek is in agreement with it. Especially when you read it in the Torah. I mean, read it in the Greek. And it's in the text in which the person is talking about. All right. All right, verse 21. He's talking to his apostles, or his ones who are going to become apostles, not to the Sadducees, not to the Pharisees, not to the Goyims. He's talking to his 12. All right. Wherefore your treasure is, verse 21, breaking the whole thought, where your treasure is, there will also your heart also be. The light, the aura, in Hebrew, of the body is the eye. And if thine eye be single, knowing where it's going to aim for, thy whole body shall be full of aura, light. If the eye be evil, thy whole body full of darkness, not koshech. And if therefore the light, quote, that is in thee is koshech, darkness, how great is that koshech? You understand what I'm saying? The Hebrew word, Greek word, is kotios. Is that the verb form? Full darkness? Kotios. Kotinos. Yeah, I'm not too very good in Greek. I'm a little better in Hebrew. I guess I can figure out how to pronounce it in Hebrew better than I can in Greek. I'm just not familiar with the language that well. Now, let's go to 1 Corinthians. Corinthians? Yeah, Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians. We're talking about darkness now. And we have been called out of the darkness of this world. We were in darkness, and now we are in the light. Listen carefully. Chapter 4, first verse. Therefore, seeing we have this mystery, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty. Interesting. Revealing that which is not true. Not walking in craftiness, cunningness, cleverness, deceitfulness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commanding ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, don't understand. Right? in whom the Lord, whom the God, meaning the Satan, of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ, Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves our service to his sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness. Did you catch that? Did you catch that? He commanded, let there be light. Why? Because now he's going to bring forth truth. Now he's going to bring forth understanding. Now he's going to bring forth what is true. There was darkness. What does light show? Jesus said, what happens when the light comes? Two things will occur. Either you come to the light to find out, all right, what is wrong with you to correct it, or you flee from it. And John, we won't go there today, but it says that Jesus is the light of the world, and the light came. Basically means that darkness could not prevent it from happening. They couldn't hold it back. They couldn't stop it. All right. Thessalonians.
Is that Corinthians 4?
That's 2 Corinthians, verse 4, chapter 4, 1 to 6. A relationship to darkness, yes.
Even if there is flight from the light, it's still because the light exposed it.
Right, that's what light does.
Exposed is it, whether you like it or run from it.
And we have known that God is going to put the light out. We already read that part, right? He's going to put the light out. Yes.
And this is why in the end of Revelation...
We get there.
But there is no darkness.
No darkness. Although there's moons, right? You have this monthly thing of moons, right? So it's not talking about in the physicalness of the light. Talk about the spirit. There is no darkness in that temple, the place of four squares. There is no darkness. Now, God really created the earth. He really did create the sun, the moon, and the stars. Guess why? He likes it. He didn't create it in Jehovah's value. He created it because he wanted it. He created it because it was his desire. He created it because that's what he wanted to do. He loves it. He desired it. He says, I'll give up my son because I love the world. And we know Romans, what does it say? The whole creation moans and groans. For what? For the sons of God to take over. We think sometimes there'll be no physicalness around about us. If there's no physicalness around about us, why did God create physical things? Why did he start out creating spirit in the first place and forget about physical? Because that's not what he wants to do. It's not his will, not his desire. He created the physical because it is what to him? And we will not, well, run through that real quickly. He said he saw everything that he had made. And what did he say it was? It was good. He didn't say, it was evil. I made a mistake. I wish I hadn't done it. This should never have happened. Oh, I should have just started out right from... He didn't say that. He said, hey, this is good. This is what I want. This is my will, my desire. You see, we walk in that desire. We walk in that love, that thought of God. So the creation that we have around about us, and he also said, I'm speaking very fast. He also said, I'm going to destroy anybody who destroys my world. You're out to destroy this earth. I'm going to destroy you. Because he created this earth. That's where he wants to walk. When he says the earth is footstool, that means he just went around and got to step all over. No, that's where he wants to walk. He wants to walk on the earth.
Like he did with Adam and Eve.
Did Adam and Eve. All right, and yes.
He also, the children of Israel were told how to handle sewage problems less than
he did. Unless he has to walk on the stuff, then you dig a whole berry. I don't want to walk on it. All right. So, you know, this is, in a sense, the physical world is God's world. The world of ages, that's a little different thing. He will have complete power over it. In fact, he said, when he died and came back in, he says, now I have all power and all authority. And that's why he says, we won't go there today, but he will make a note to you. He says, fear not, for I have overcome the world. He's not talking about this earth. He's talking about the principalities of the air. Now I have complete power over them. They can do nothing without my permission. Yes.
Before the Father says, I will make the world a footstool.
Yeah. Because it was where he wants to walk.
Yeah.
Would you like to rest your foot sometime?
Is that why then the cycle of three festivals or three regalim, three shalashim regalim, three footsteps?
Yeah, okay. Now we're getting there. We'll run into that in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians. Go to 1 Thessalonians, please. Chapter 5. This is what, you know, Apostle Paul says to speak in season and out of season. When he means speaking in season, he means when that season comes, like now, the days of unleavened bread coming, speak about that. When the Feast of Shavuot comes, speak about that. When the Feast of Tabernacles comes, or the Feast of the Trumpets come, or anyway, speak about that. Speak about that and speak about that. All the things he has created that he wants you to speak about in its season. Now listen to this carefully.
1 Thessalonians?
Chapter 5. Oh, I'm sorry. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, ye have no need that I write unto you. Now why?
They knew.
That's right. They knew what times were all about. They knew what seasons were all about. They knew that. They didn't have to be taught all over again the meaning of these things. Times has to do with something specific, means a fixed or special occasion taken up. There's a certain time we do these things. A special occasion or an occasion that God has set in motion. I want you to do this because this is the time I want you to do this. All right? And the whole world is based upon a circular pattern. Right? The sun, the moon, the star, the four seasons. Guess what? What comes around goes around. God created it that way. In his wisdom. That's what he wanted. That's what he desired to do. And therefore, we have that. These people knew and understand what the holy days are all about. We have to go and search. We have to go hunt and peck. We have to do some research. Sometimes we think we got it right. Then we think, well, we got it right. And then next time, oops, that was wrong. We have to correct those things back and forth. But that's what we do. We're learning to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And by the way, when he corrects us, he doesn't correct us for all the things. He only corrects us for that which we either ask him to do so, or if you don't ask, he's going to correct you anyway. But you know, Apostle David said in one of his Psalms, I'm almost finished. No, I'm not going to finish today at all. In Psalms, he said, try my reins. Now, have you ever asked God to try your reins? You ever asked God to pull? Mm-mm. What do you do when you're on a horse or a mule or a donkey? Well, mule, that doesn't work. A donkey. And you have, you tell it to do something. Yeah. And with the horses, modern horses, you know, you pull the rein. What's a horse do? It goes the direction, right? Or by a command. G or ha. G, the mule the donkey goes to the right. Ha, the donkey goes straight, goes to the left. Okay? So basically, when God speaks to us, what are we supposed to do?
Listen.
Yeah, listen.
Hear and do.
All right? Respond. Hearken unto. The old English word, 1611. Obedience. I love that word. 1611 word. Now, what it meant then, not what it means today. Because today it's considered evil. They turn that which is good into evil, and that which is evil into good. They reverse the whole pattern of obedience. Okay? In Hebrew, it's what? Shema. Same thing.
And Jesus said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. It's the same thing.
Same thing. Oh, yeah, same thing. He's just doing it in a language we can understand. Now, listen. Verse For yourselves know perfectly there, the day of the Lord so comes as a... Why doesn't he come in a thief during the daytime? Why is he coming as the night? And we sometimes take that literally.
Because he's coming because of the darkness?
Because of the darkness is there all around the entire world, whether there's sun or no sun. Whether you're in a hot day, the bright sun on top of you, that is darkness. Because that's where you are at, where the world is at. So yeah, he's going to come as a thief in the darkness. Now we come to God said, light, come. Called forth, and he came out like a thief. He came out like a thief. Now that's what he called himself, right? God calls his Messiah a thief. Wow. What is a thief supposed to do? Now even Jesus said, you know what a thief does? They break in, they tear down, they destroy. That's what a thief does, right? And that's what he's going to do, right? He's going to come in, he's going to break down the walls, he's going to tear down the place, he's going to do some mess, he's going to do some killing, he's going to do destruction. He's going to do what a thief does. Yes? Did you have a question?
No.
Okay.
I just got excited when I read verse 4.
Okay. Do you understand so far what I'm saying when I'm talking about darkness? Now something's happened in the beginning which brought forth darkness. I don't know if I'll be able to get there today at all. I got 5 more minutes. Yes.
This thief is going to come get his stuff.
No, he's going to destroy your stuff.
He's going to get his stuff is up.
Okay, let's continue on here. Now, I've got to get this point. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as travail of a woman with child, and they shall not escape. This is the darkness. We're talking about stay for the night. Got to come when they say, oh, look at everything. They just honky-dory. Wonderful. Boom. The thief comes and does destruction. Yes. But if ye, brother, are not in darkness. What? See, now the spiritual concept of darkness, right? You are not in darkness. That the day should overtake you as a thief. Do you see what he's saying here?
That will know.
You will know. You are not the children of Koseh. You are the children of Or. Ora.
Yes.
You're the children of light. You're the ones that when the light came, you responded. You believed. Because you didn't like the darkness. Didn't like the world you're in. God called you out of that. Delivered you from this place. So the world now, we're in the chapter 1, verse 2, we're seeing God starting to deal with calling the world that is in Koseh, covered with water. We'll get to that, not today. He's going to call forth light that the world will have life and not death. Do you understand what I'm saying? We're talking about light and darkness, but right here it's just Koseh. First thing we have is Koseh. And God says, I bring about Koseh. Someone's going to pay for what happened, or something's going to happen. We're going to skip the rest of the stuff. I got to get to Isaiah 14th chapter. It's all about Lucifer. There's one more place I want to go to, and I have to get to this. I'm passing up an awful lot of things that I would like to be able to go there, but this is important. So I said to you before, the Bible does not explain in Genesis 1 when he created the angelic world. We know he created the angelic world before he created mankind. That's the only thing we know. I'm going to talk about an individual thing called Lucifer. There's a lot of interpretation about this name. I'm not going to worry about the interpretation of this word. But remember what Jesus said? I saw Satan, what?
Fall.
Fall. keep that word in mind. Fall, cast down, thrown down to darkness. He was once had light. Now he's cast down, O morning star, O morning light. Now you are cast down into this earth, into darkness. Right. Hell from beneath is moved by thee to meet thee with thy coming.
Verse
9. It stirs up its head. Interesting word we will go to today. For thee, even the chief ones of the earth, it has risen up from their thrones, all the kings of the nations. And they all shall speak and say unto you, art thou also become weak as we? Thou art become like us. Thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials, the worms is spread over thee, and the worms over the worm is spread over thee, and the worms over thee cover thee. Drop down to verse 12. I'm still the same area. Thou art fallen from heaven, Lucifer, the son of morning star. Art thou cut down to the ground that thou weaken the nations? For thou hast said in your heart, I will what? Ascend into the heaven, meaning the heaven of God, the third heaven. Not the one that we're thinking about, not the one you can see, not the one that's air in it, not the ones out there in outer space. What were the throne of God is that? Exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit upon the mountain of the congregation, the size of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, and I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell and the size of the pit. They shall see thee, narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man who has made the earth to tremble and shake kingdoms? What made the world as a wilderness and destroyed the cities thereof? Open not to the house of his prisoners? Now, put this in mind. We say, let's talk about a human being. Well, stop. Stop. Think. Have we ever looked in prophecy where an individual and what he did is a picture of the Messiah? Did you ever notice that? Mm-hmm. Joseph, a man, thinks of the Messiah. Mm-hmm. Aaron, a high priest, thinks of the Messiah. So God uses people to explain his word. And so we look at this one, and we see, oh, now keep in mind, the light is out. All right? The light is out. As I said before, some people believe chapter 1-2 of Genesis 1-2 is about to talk about prehistoric mankind. And destruction came. And now God begins to repair the damage, and it took him thousands and billions and quadrillion years to make. No, that's not true. Something happened. Tohu wohu. And then darkness came. Koshech came. And it was covered with water. Do you notice that there's nothing there about how he created the water? Where'd the water come from?
It's already there.
From where?
It was already there.
Oh, boy. Bereshit para Elohim et Hashemayim va Haaretz. Because that's what the word heaven has in it, the word Mayim. The earth didn't have the word Mayim in it, but heaven had the word Mayim in it. That's how it got covered. Now, water just represents purification and cleanliness. Yeah, clean up the entire earth. We haven't gone this word depth yet because I won't be able to do it today. I'm already past time. Sheesh. Okay. You're going to have a second session. You won't hear from me again for another 3 weeks. But we're going to cover something very important. He asked me a question. From the foundations of the earth is a different phrase than from the creation of the earth. Totally different meaning. We'll cover that. And it has to do in relationship to what took place. All right? And there is a different term. They mean two different things. They're not just like one meaning and the other one. Doesn't have anything to do with that. All right? I'm sorry. I thought I could cover this thing fast and quick. It's not going to work. It's not going to work. I hope you will forgive me for taking up your time and not getting you all the things you needed that I felt you needed to know. But understand that darkness was something that God said I brought upon the earth. Why? Tohu vohu. I had to clean it up. I destroyed everything that once was. What did he destroy? Oh yeah, he destroyed the dinosaurs. That's not what it says. He destroyed the power of the principalities of the air who rebelled against him. Lucifer is the cause of the first rebellion. Man isn't the first one that rebelled against God. Were you up there on the throne of God? Were you there in heaven? Were you there, one of the morning lights? Were you there in spirit to be able to be with God? No, you weren't. Who was there? Lucifer, or we call the devil, or Satan. What does the word devil mean?
Officer.
Sorry, what?
Officer, Hasatan.
No, that's what Hasatan means. Oh. What does the English word for devil mean?
Demon.
Confusion, chaos. That's an old English word. Twisted, confusion, chaos. It's all
deviled eggs.
The devil eggs. It's funny, the devil eggs. You take the inside and you glue it all up. You just, it don't look like a little egg anymore. It's all changed. Yes.
Well, you know, Shining One, in Isaiah 14, it's Hillel.
Yes.
Which is, of the root, is actually the same word for Lila, which is night.
And Ben Zafar, the light of the crescent moon.
Right. We won't go into that today. There's an awful lot of different ways this could be looked at. I didn't want to go into the name. I just want to go into the darkness.
So Lucifer's name then is actually darkness, although it looks like light. Which
well, because the reason why my personal thing, I think his name was changed to Lucifer because of what he did. What his name was before that, I do not know.
Well, why is he called Son of the
Morning Star?
Morning, because the crescent star.
Morning Star.
Yeah.
The morning star.
But Yeshua is also called the bright morning star.
You're right.
So what's going on there then? That's a whole other lesson, all right?
Yes, it is a whole other lesson, all right? Because he became the morning, Jesus became the star, the morning star, you would call that, because of sin and transgression that came upon the earth. He had to get that and bring that forth of light to you, to me, for flesh and blood, because that's who he cares about. Now, the devil's something different. All right? His job never was to be bringing light unto mankind. His job was what? You know what? You forget the person that said that? Praising God and...
Oh, he had a tambourine in one hand and a flute in the other. And
that was his job.
Pipes as well.
That's his job, to glorify God. He probably has the best voice. Because you were perfect in the day you were created. He probably had a dynamic personality. If I can use that personality, it means a human being. But a dynamic spirituality. I hate that word too. But you understand what I'm saying, all right?
You mean better than Elvis?
Yes.
Elvis might have had the spirit of him.
No, I'll tell you this much. Elvis has probably 100% chance of succeeding, but not Lucifer. That's the difference between the whole thing. I just got so much to tell you. But you know, the thief of the night, why God begins his evenings in day in the evening, because he's telling you something. Ah, it's darkness there. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to come as a thief. How? Let there be light. Whoo! Wow, all of a sudden, truth is there. All of a sudden, truth becomes there. And you have to face the truth. It exposes the truth. The light, he plants the light in your house for what reason?
To see.
For people to see. And spiritually speaking, if you are a light, they will see. Not, you don't show them anything. What do they see? They're supposed to see their evilness. And say, I want to go away from this world. I don't want to be part of this world of darkness anymore. Because you just said the whole world's already condemned. Says that in John. Whole world's already condemned. Every being. But lo and behold, if you come unto the light and you want to come to light, you will be corrected.
And that's what the others will see. See the light.
The other ones don't want it, they will flee from the light.
But you'll see the light in you, so to speak.
Well, yeah. What should they see in you?
For sure.
They should see the light. You are to be a light. Why we have the menorah? Seven of them. What's that all about? Light. And we already read who keeps the light burning, right? Because I'm going to light your light. I'm going to light your candle. Therefore, be a candle. Be a light. Yes?
Those five of the ten virgins are short of light.
Short of light. Short of the fuel.
And they wait too long.
And the light cannot remain lit.
Mm-hmm.